17, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Go through your Gospels, go through Romans, you're in Corinthians. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And drop into verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Going to chapter 2. Verse 3, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling, but my message and my preaching was not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Go into chapter 6. And go to almost the last verse, 19 and 20 there. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We have some announcements about the week. Can we listen to them just now? This area, we used to have crusade meetings. Dick Saunders on South Church Park, Don Double, down in Hockley. David Shepherd has stood here and conducted crusade meetings for us. We've had Saturday night rallies on a regular basis, bringing in preachers right across. We had a tent mission on the green there at Carnuton. We had a landline connecting us. We didn't have this sophisticated apparatus that John uses to link us in on Remembrance Sunday. They made a connection here for us to follow the Billy Graham meetings being up at Earl's Hall. We took coaches up to Wembley and other places like that. Don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. We have celebrations. And there is some kind of way of saying, look, you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. But what about the gospel? You know, as I took you through it this morning, you know, this little girl that spoke up and then although the difficult circumstances, the stakes were high, she spoke anyway. And she just wanted to be caring and different. She just wanted to let Naaman know that there was someone who could bless him beyond all other. And I'm anxious that we rediscover that again as a truth for ourselves. That we have a sense of urgency about the gospel, about winning people again. They used to fill the place here. and why not now? What is it about this world of ours People keep telling me it's your culture, Pastor Dave. The gospel has not changed. Wherever I go across the world, whatever the culture is, the gospel is significant in every single place. Ever used a stethoscope? You know, the thing the doctor has around to listen to your own heart. The steady rhythm and beat that's there. There's a pediatric nurse called Sam Kidd. And she often allows the youngsters to listen to their own hearts. And there was a youngster, one day she put the stethoscope there and asked him, funny enough, his name was David, just like mine. I said, David, what do you hear? Listen. What do you suppose that is? And little David, screwing his eyes up, came up with a big smile and thought, no, it's Jesus knocking. It's Jesus knocking. Now, forget the physiology for a moment. For our spiritual health, our eternal destiny is about that. That's the essence. And what the gospel is about, it's Jesus knocking at the hard door. This Jesus Christ, the crucified Savior, the risen Lord of glory, knocks at the door of every heart. Because our heart is the core. It's the center of our lives. It controls every decision and every choice. And the key question is always going to be whether you have gladly invited him in to be your personal Savior, to forgive your sins, to give you cleansing and renewing. That's what John 3:16 is all about, to invite Jesus into your life to rule as Lord, so that it will be Jesus, the one who then guides our decisions and guides our actions. We sing a song, it's one I grew up with as a teenager, "Take me as I am, Lord, and make me all thine own. Make my heart your palace and your royal throne." Because becoming a Christian means you change sides. It's the start of a new life, not just a couple of hours a week when you get to church, but every day and every week and every month. It's a life of wholehearted devotion and service. And perhaps one of the greatest preachers of all time would have been Paul, the preacher with such deep convictions, the man whose service to the church was of incalculable value, was the man who had to deal with the Corinthian church. Things were desperate. The church was in serious trouble. Everyone knew it. Members there were even guilty of sexual immorality. Others were getting drunk. Others in that church were living in the most worldly way. It was a church that had divided itself into four groups, Cephas and so on, Apollos and what have you. And all of them were competing for the leadership. It was a tragedy and it was a disgrace. And instead of glorifying God, it was hindering the progress of the gospel. How it happened and why it did is something for another day. It was the way the local church had lost its way. And Paul systematically in Corinthians takes the issues, the various issues, and deals with them one by one. Because if we're back in chapter 1, the first 6 verses, you are called to be holy. Called to be a fellowship, not a division. You're called to glorify God. And so he goes on and on. But he comes to this crucial statement in chapter 6. See, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That's an amazing claim. That's a staggering statement. And the phrases and the words resonate. They pile up one after the other. And I want you to hear them. I want them to resonate in your heart. So there's 3 things you have to pick out. The cost. You were bought with a price. Now that's the argument. It's not that God made you or nourished you or sustained you so you ought to serve him. No, you were bought. Jesus is not just a figure of history who set a moral example, a prophet who proclaimed some kind of future kingdom, but he was the one who knew the deepest needs of the heart. We are born to live, and he was born to die so that we might be redeemed from sin and be able to live in eternity. And out of love, Jesus chose to pay the price of sin for us. He bought us. He took our place. He became our substitute. He bared his back and he took the punishment that we rightly deserved. And the analogy of being bought takes you to the slave market. Peter will have something of the same thing. You were bought with the precious blood. You were redeemed, bought with the precious blood of Christ. If you're not bought, you must be unredeemed. It's a terrible thought and a dreadful possibility. And yet I'm living, and almost every television ad and newspaper ad I see, every time I pick up a little magazine out of Aldi or Lidl's, I live in a body-conscious world. There's so many products to fix your skin, to sort your hair out, grow your hair, smooth your hair, fix your nails. You can have a clean-up, you can have a paint-up, you can have a fix-up, you can have a makeover. You can go to Weight Watchers or you can go Slimmers UK, whatever it is. You've got the government telling you about diets that will abound, the food you can eat and the food that you shouldn't eat, and so on. On every street corner almost, there are leisure and health clubs, aerobic plans, keep fit schemes. But there is this other dimension that never comes into the argument. The day you became a Christian, something happened to your body. You became a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within you. How did that become a possibility? How did that kind of change take place? You were bought. There's a cost. And what an activity it is, with a price. Jesus never sinned. He never blushed with shame. He never needed to seek forgiveness. And those close to him said he was without sin. The common people heard him gladly. He sought out the sick and the dying, and his touch brought healing. He went to the bereaved, wept at the grave of a friend. And yet one day, they took him and they nailed him to a cross. And on that cross, hanging naked, his back beaten, his beard plucked out, the crown of thorns on his head, his hands pierced with the nails, and his side with the spear. Blood and spittle would run down his side. But at that very moment, something more important was happening, because he was choosing to carry on his shoulders the wrongs of the world. And God took all the sin of all time, including the 21st century, and he laid it on him. And Jesus takes the punishment so that we might be forgiven and set free. And it is a tremendous price he paid. We cannot calculate its worth or its cost. All the anguish in the garden just makes me bow my head and bow my knee, because I was bought with the price. And when the cry is torn from his lips, it is finished, telelestai. I was bought with a price. And don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. He didn't come into the world for good people, because he never would have found any. He came into the world for sinners, which included all of us. And my angry world and my angry parliament and my angry friends and community that are walking around me need to know the price, the cost of the changed life, of the new life. But the cost leads to a claim. See, the claim is this: now you are not your own, because you were bought with a price. Now, I see that as a great privilege. If somebody buys you, you obviously belong to them. It's almost as if it needs no argument. But what a blessing it is to say, hey, you are not your own. You don't have to be your own guide. He will guide you. You do not have to provide for yourself. He's your shepherd. When you have a need, you can say, I shall not want, because the Lord is my shepherd. When there is a power required for you to sustain where you're at and what you're about, he will provide it, because he's aware of each need. You belong to him. You are his. You are not your own. Do you know this story? In Freiburg, Germany, the elderly church organist, who always treated the organ with such great care, it was his. Solely and totally his. He's approached by a man who asked, could he play it for a while? And there was a curt refusal. So the man sat in the pew like you are. Three times he asked. To the end, the old man said, all right, have a go. And suddenly, the whole of the church was filled with magnificent music and sound. And the old man said, well, who are you? Who are you? And the man said, I'm Mendelssohn. And he actually wrote this and said, to think I nearly didn't allow the master to play the organ. What I'm trying to convey today is this: don't let us miss the opportunity to let the world know about Jesus. He's your Lord, he's your master. You are not your own. You belong to him. But as good as the privilege is, there's a purpose. You see? Therefore, there's something else. We have to glorify God. This is the claim. You see? Don't injure yourself in any way. Don't do anything to harm what belongs to God. He will have talked about the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, how you are behaving, there's a whole host of things to avoid. Don't injure yourself. We need to be saying to young people, don't injure yourself with drugs, with addictive things. Don't injure yourself with alcohol. Don't injure yourself with things that are improper. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You belong to Jesus. Don't waste your opportunities. Remember how Jesus told the story of a man who had one talent and he went and dug a hole in the ground and hid it? It belonged to the master. But he is chided for his actions. He's scolded. And that will happen to us too if we waste what Jesus has bought with such a price. You see, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, every day will give you opportunities to touch other people's lives. A lady wheeled up the ramp there, a pushchair, on Tuesday morning. It was innocuous and as simple as this. And she said, "Oh, I've come into the wrong place." She expected to find lots of children. She said, no, you've come on the wrong day. You've come on the wrong day. Come tomorrow." And I walked her out. And I said, "Let me show you where you'll go tomorrow." And I walked her into the hall. And the layout. Do you know when she came to this church last? She was in my youth group in the early 1970s. And she began to ask me about names, real off names that she's friendly with, and I added to them. She had a grandchild there. I talked to her a little bit. I prayed with her. You know what the lady said to me? She said, "I never expected this. But this has made my day. It's made my day." A mistaken visit, but an opportunity that came my way to share a little bit more. And I said to her, "Come back. Come back. Come and find a place again. You were a teenager then." I talked to my daughter about it. She's with my daughter. Come and find a place again. Talked to my own kids. They walked out of here because of people wanting to destroy their dad. And I said, "Forget what people did. Forget what people did. You bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." You and I are going to have opportunities this week. Every single day, you'll have the chance to be like the little girl, to speak up and to speak out. Opportunities to touch people's lives. It's the motivation we need to have to proclaim the gospel. It's what we're about. So how can I encourage you one more thing? Don't live for yourself. We can so easily be concerned about our own interests, our own comfort, our own concerns, to seek those kind of things that will advance our own interests, to bring personal advantage, and miss this. You were bought with a price. You belong to God. That's what the woman with the box of alabaster ointment did. You know, those wonderful moments when she broke the box. The fragrance filled the house, but the fragrance was on him. When he's on the cross, do you understand that? There's that lingering fragrance still on his body from the alabaster ointment and so on. Don't be frustrated by what you can't do. Do what you can. It's so easy to be tempted to say, this is too big. True. But do what you can. Let's show out our love for Jesus by what we do with what we have. That's my plea for today. You see, the cost and the claim leads to the challenge. You were bought with a price. Therefore, you are not your own. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. In 1 Corinthians 10, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's the only and proper response to this wonderful Savior and this wonderful experience of his grace and power in our lives. He will scrutinize my motives and my actions, every decision I make and the business I conduct in the church and my behavior. And what's done for his glory is what is going to last. If I do anything else for everybody else, for man, it will eventually fail and come to nothing. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5? Sold some land. They gave gifts to the church, pretending they'd given everything. But in reality, they kept back something from themselves. Whatever their motivation, greed, pride, I don't know. God wasn't glorified. John wrote about Diotrephes, one of the leaders in the church. He loved to have number one place, preeminence. He's only after his own way. That's not how we build a church. Glorify God. Glorify him in your body. Before you became a committed Christian, then you, in effect, were doing the devil's work, carrying on his business. You let your legs carry you anywhere else. And one day, by the power of his Spirit, your legs carried you into the house of the Lord. Let them go and do that. That's what your legs are for. To bring you here. To bring you into activities where you can learn and discover more about the power of the gospel. Make your tongues speak words of comfort and encouragement and testimony. Seasoned with salt, says the scripture. Let your ears hear. Not the devil's noise is out there. It's a cacophony of sound. It comes at you through the radio. It comes at you through the songs that are being blared out in place after place. It comes out with the foul and the vulgar language you hear from the lips of every age upwards. But let your ears hear the voice of God. Be careful what you see. See what can be done for God. When a man and a woman say they belong to Jesus, do you know what? We go on public display for everyone to see. At the time Tim had his road accident, we had a whole welter of nurses here. And they were always talking about the church here. And Joyce and I were sitting in the canteen having a meal late one evening. And some folk came and sat on the table and said, "We have watched you." And I said, "What do you mean you have watched me? I've been sitting with my boy on a life support machine with the anticipation he might die any moment at any time." "Oh yeah, but we have watched you because we've heard about you." They'd heard the testimony. It began with one of the Hendon girls asking me to come over and do Bible study in the building that was falling to pieces in the grounds where the curve is and so on. That was the nurse's home and place. And then we built them up. And the nurses came and the young men came and found Jesus. And we didn't know we were on watch at the hospital. And I'll never forget it. The one speaking said, "We know it works." They had seen our faith. I hadn't talked to them. The girls had given testimony again and again and again. And they had looked at the pastor. Does he walk his talk? Does he walk his talk? We will be on display for everyone to see. The world has a right to expect more from the Christian than from anyone else. I won't tell you where this is because they don't want it to be known publicly. There's a battered wives' refuge, not any great distance from here. And one of the saddest things I've heard said, and it's grieved me over and over again, that sometimes it's the born-again Christians who are intolerant and not as understanding and not as patient as they should be. There should never be comments like that. Our lives should be such that others remember our example. They want to know how well do we suffer. You hear me? Do we suffer patiently and courageously? Stephen glorified God by giving his life. Paul in the beatings and the stonings. John on the gulag. The concentration camp of Patmos knew how to suffer. How well do you work? How well do we worship? Oh, I'm not talking of techniques and ways and means here. I'm talking what comes from here. You see, does our body language tell the story? You see, glorify God with your body and glorify God in your spirit. See, what are we going to be living for? So live that the testimony of Abel will be ours. He being dead yet speaks. How you glorify God in your spirit? Well, it's by holy living. It's by faith. It's by demonstrating zeal. It's by being heavenly minded. A mindset that is so important that you want to please God. It's about humility. It's about an expectancy. It's about a moment by moment declaring, Lord, I am thine. When we live this out, you will fight to get a seat here. You will. You will. When the faithful remnant, not just here, but across the land, begins to realize once again, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit. When that happens, when churches rise up to fulfill that task, when individual members, one after another, with the limitations that they have, one old lady and a gas lamp and electricity, one old lady calling a pastor, can you imagine it? Now a thriving congregation. Like I said, I never knew the man who put Dino Tutang onto me. And now there are hundreds, running to thousands in the kingdom. And you have supported it and made it possible. Orphanages, schools, training centers, churches built. Your gift that went just 2 weeks ago is already in the hands of three young men who've planted a church. Each of them have planted a church in the last 6 months. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. If only my master knew there's a prophet in Israel. If only Rochford knew there's a savior in the Congregational Church message and ministry that wants to bless them. Will you help me? Will you help me? Will you make sure you know him for yourself? But will you help me to make him known again in this place? The place will run with the laughter, the footsteps of the little ones. And the canes will not sit by themselves, but they'll fight for where they can. And the teens and the young couples will be in their place. And then the faithful remnant will lift their hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for grace beyond measure, for unfailing love demonstrated, for this wonderful gospel that has brought hope, not just to us, but to our community. You are not your own. No, you are not your own. You belong to him because you were bought with a price. It's there in the communion table. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Do what you can this week to touch people with the kingdom message of hope, of new life, of God's favor, and God's blessing.